Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement association. And we're glad that you have joined us on this Friday. It's kind of one of those scary days on the calendar, depending on what you believe. I'm your host. I'm Rick McCann. I'm talking about Friday the 13th and a harvest moon, a full moon, beyond a full moon, very bright moon. And we've got them both together on the same day. Now, I'm not superstitious and I don't believe in black cats and walking under ladders and things of that nature, but a lot of people do. They really do. And today is one of those days when people really do fear. They think that all kinds of things happen on Friday the 13th. I can tell you as law enforcement and working in security and public safety that some Friday the 13th are a little bit more crazier, a little bit more hectic and a little bit more fast-paced than others. I know that we've had numerous situations over the years when really weird things have happened. Weird people, weird things, weird incidents. I don't know if that was a coincidence or if it really did have something to do with Friday the 13th and a full moon at the same time. But if you believe in it, that's great. I just know it has happened. And some people really do. I don't want to say that they hide, but they don't do a whole lot on Friday the 13th. They're extra cautious. And you know what? This is just the prelim to that spookiest day of the year, which is still about 6 weeks away. All right, how about the weather? We've gotten over the worst of Hurricane Dorian, but there are two other hurricane possibilities out in the Atlantic right now. Right now, they're tropical waves, tropical storms in the next few hours, but they are on the same path, taking the same path as Dorian, and they are predicted to cross into the Bahamas, where right now there's just massive destruction and devastation. Local government authorities say that more than 1,300 people are still missing. Now, that some of those are really, truly been swept out to the sea. Others escaped or may be in the rubble. Not all 1,300 are presumed dead, so there are some that could still be alive. And now we've got these two other storms. The first one really looks like it could potentially quickly, they now say within 3 to 5 days, whip up into a hurricane, taking the same path as Dorian right through the Bahamas into Florida, and then a sharp right up the coast again. Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina taking the brunt. Even if this was a Category 1 or even a tropical storm, it's predicted to do a lot of the same damage and a lot of rainfall. And we've already seen tornadoes being spun up across the country in the last couple of days. And, of course, with the hurricane coming, oftentimes they also spin up tornadoes. So we're going to be definitely watching and tracking this one, and we'll keep you updated as security, public safety, law enforcement officers working in the weather is just part of what we do, and it's just part of the job. But we do have to be prepared. We've got to have the right equipment. We need our rain gear, boots. If you're working in areas that flood, obviously you might even have to bring in waders, or, you know, we got to be prepared. We want to work safe. And so we're just giving you a heads up right now that we're in for some more severe weather, and it does not look good. This is a late hurricane season. We said that, I said that a couple of weeks ago, but having lived along the coast, the Atlantic and the Gulf Coast, and working with the emergency management and public safety, I've seen these storm tracks that seem to repeat themselves in the same year. And I've also seen people that get caught up in them because they don't listen, they don't evacuate, they don't prepare. But we'll definitely keep you advised as to what's on the weather front. This week was a pretty tough day. In the middle of the week, 9/11, the anniversary. It was hard for many of us who work in this field. It was hard for Americans. And it's hard to believe that it's been 18 years. Thank God that there's been no successful attacks since then. But there certainly have been dozens, literally, of attempts. And oftentimes, the media doesn't pick up on it. It's not really highly publicized. But they do happen. And thank goodness for the FBI and state and local law enforcement staying on top of it. Because there are a lot of people, our own people, Americans right here in the U.S. who want to do harm to us. We have others who have come in by a variety of ways from other countries who are also waiting, hiding for that right time. We've had a number of active shooters in the last 5 years who are part of ISIS or terrorist groups and had been living here for a number of years, even working in city and county government. We don't know who our neighbors are, and we don't know who's out to harm us. But I can guarantee you this. There are dozens or more. Could be 100. Could be 200. We just don't know. But they are here in America, in my own state of North Carolina. Last year, two people were arrested, including a 17-year-old who is now currently serving federal time in federal prison for trying to aid ISIS terrorists. One went to Turkey and was arrested when he arrived back at the airport. We have a lot of people like this. They're recruited online. Many of them are outsiders. They don't have a lot of friends. They may not have a good family relationship, or, you know, just like when gangs recruit people, they don't go after the people who are scholars, the people who are college graduates, the people who have a great life, a great family, a great job. No, they recruit people who are loners, who feel like they've been left out, who don't have a good family structure, who's not supported through family and friends. And they look for those people who are looking for something or someone that will believe in them. And as soon as they find these gangs who are out there recruiting, they quickly gravitate toward them and think that's the answer. And it's sad. It really, really is sad. But unfortunately, we're seeing that across the country today. We're seeing that more and more on the internet and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, other federal and state agencies trying to combat it. And luckily they are. Just a week or so ago, they arrested several men who FBI agents posing as people who wanted to join terrorists. And they were able to arrest several terrorists who were plotting a situation. And we see this more and more. As security professionals and law enforcement and public safety, you know, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open for things that might look out of place, for people who might be saying, you know, maybe something that might be code or might be something that would lead you to believe that maybe they're planning something. Keep your eyes and ears open. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got so much to share with you today. We really do. And we're going to be talking about the Private Officer International Annual Memorial. We want to talk, when I come back, about the security officers that were killed during 9/11, because that's something that people just don't really realize. There's been so many attempts over the years since 9/11 to get a complete list of those private security officers and private peace officers who died. But we're going to talk about that and explain a little bit about that when we come back. Remember, if you need body armor, if you need protective gear, Body Armor USA, we've got you covered. Go to our website. We've got the best armor, protective wear, protective clothing, gloves. We've got what you need. Body Armor USA. Check them out today for all of your protection needs. And don't forget, they're going to give you a discount. Just tell them the private officer sent you. Coming right back after these couple of little PSAs. And we got a lot of breaking news today, too. If you haven't already, sign up for our breaking news at privateofficer.org.
Can't see my 18th birthday because I'm a fatal victim of gun violence. My friends, my family, my own mother was devastated. Can't see her son anymore because of gun violence. And everyone's here at the funeral. But before they lay me to rest, there's just one last thing I have to do. How many more of us have to die from gun violence? Let's put a stop to this, because if we don't, the next time it could be your child lying in this casket.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us. All of us.
To stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Guardian Security, a DCJS licensed and insured facility in New York. If you're looking for unarmed or armed security training, you'll want to contact our friends at area code 631-351-6473. Let them know that Private Officer sent you their way. Guardian Security, we're here because we care. Area code 631-351-6473.
Hi, everyone. Did you know that one organ donor can save up to 8 lives? The need for organ donors now is greater than ever. 120,000 people right now in the U.S. are waiting for an organ transplant. 95% of Americans support organ donation, but only a little over a half are registered. My charity, Health Corps, has teamed up with Donate Life and Organize.org to save up to 500,000 lives by getting 62,500 folks to register as organ donors. If you're not registered, click the Register Now link to stand up and be counted. And when you're done, go on Facebook and tell us your story and add my hashtag organs will. For example, you might say, hashtag organs will make a difference. I'm an organ donor. Are you?
Just before going to the break, we began talking about the other not widely known victim category or victims that was killed during 9/11. In fact, many people have not reflected on the number for quite some time. But during 9/11, we knew that many private security officers, both contract as well as proprietary, were killed. Some inside the tower and some that were on foot patrolling the mall-like area and the exterior. And several years after 9/11, we worked with a reporter and several groups, security groups there in the metro tri-state area, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. And we were able to come up with about 279 security officers and private law enforcement in New York that are called peace officers. Those are private security personnel working for an entity like a hospital, college, or a business corporation, but have sworn law enforcement authority. They go through a special class and they get sworn in just like any other police officer. So we came up with a list. We posted it on our website. We distributed it. And we've also talked over the years with a number of media stations, TV, radio, and we've been interviewed by several newspapers. And working with local entities over the years, we were able to identify a great number of those roughly 279 that were killed. And it might have even been a few more or a few less, but nonetheless, this was not something that was highly publicized or known. During about 3 or 4 years afterwards, when this information began being collected and distributed by our organization and several others, then the media did get involved, and New York Times did do a story about the unsung heroes killed during 9/11 and mentioned the security officers. But this is something that we fight against every single day across the country. We know that oftentimes security officers are killed, but unless that makes news headlines beyond their town or city, unless it's picked up by a national media carrier such as Reuters, CNN, Fox News, the Associated Press, or others, and once that happens, then it's across the wires. It's across to all media groups that are aligned with those organizations, and they begin to republish the news. And it's just like when you retweet something or repost something, that helps to drive up the numbers, and that's how different topics and people become trending across social media. Well, in our case, in the private sector, our security officers often go unmentioned and uncounted. And we have worked through the years with coroners, with police, fire, EMS agencies, employers, private entities, and private persons to identify security officers killed in the line of duty. But in the last couple of years, we're now beginning to find it more difficult because oftentimes the media, the local newspaper or TV, will post something happened on today, 1 a.m., XYZ location, a nightclub, guard was killed, and one person arrested, or two people, police are looking for them, or, you know, something very vague. And then when you follow up with these local news media stations or papers, they don't really take any other action. So two or three days down the road, we do follow up with them via social media or email, and they'll say, no, we've seen no movement on this story. We've heard nothing else. And they don't spend any time, the reporters don't spend any time tracking down any updates. They only get that information, they only get take interest in that information if there's an update from the public information officer of an agency, of police or a fire department, usually the police department. If they send out a news release, then it's sent to the, all the local newspapers and news media, radio, TV, and then they'll post an update, and we usually come across it because we track over 2,500 news sources. But it's a very difficult process. I've mentioned this a number of times during the last, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 years. It's just a hard process. That's why we ask that you, the local individual, notify us. If you see something in Sacramento, California, please send us that information. If you see a security officer injured, killed, or somebody who needs to be recognized in, you know, Memphis, Tennessee, even if you don't live there, but you spotted it in the news, send that link to us so that we can follow up on it. It's important. It really is important that we collectively as a group, not just an organization or a business or a company, but as a group, it's important that we collectively, nationwide and worldwide, work together to help our industry, to help our profession, and to recognize those who are injured, killed, or do something great on duty. So send it to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. I mentioned in the last couple of weeks, every year in the third week of September, every year since we started this organization, we recognize the fallen private security and private law enforcement officer killed in the line of duty. Now, this year, it falls September the 15th through the 21st, September 15th through the 21st, and we're going to recognize and we're going to celebrate just like we do every year. We only have two memorial services scheduled nationwide, which is a tragic thing. It's something that I love to do and wish that more people would engage and be involved in this process. It's where we go to individual communities and hold a memorial service. We have politicians, we have local law enforcement and public speak, including myself, speak at these memorials and recognize those that have been killed during the last year. We also have, we honor them, we educate the public, and we have the media often print a story about the memorial and why we hold it. And it's a good PR thing for our organization, for our profession. Unfortunately, just not enough people get involved in anything these days. But we are going to have a couple of memorial services, always in Nashville, Tennessee, thanks to our area manager there, Mike Thornhill, and chief of police of Mount Juliet. Great guy there. He's helping us out again this year. We really do appreciate him. We want to remind you also that every year during this time, we ask you to donate to our benevolent funds, which is all just a fund that's used for the injured security officers and to assist families of those killed in the line of duty. This is not a slush fund by any means. This is not a vacation fund. This is used exclusively to help those injured. Please go to our website at privateofficer.org. Click on the officer down link and it will take you to the benevolent page. Please donate. We don't ask any time during the year for you to give money. We don't ask that you dedicate a certain type of money or amount of money for us, but we ask every year at the time of our memorial that you do help us to help others. Without these donations, sponsorships, we're not able to help people. If you want to help, you can donate. You can also join our volunteer assistance team where we help officers injured, officers who need our help. Contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. Helpdesk at privateofficer.com. Like I said, it is so important that you get involved, member or not. Even if you're not a member, you're part of the profession. It's where you make your money. It's where you are working, and it's where you need to invest yourself, to be engaged, to be aware, and to participate in the profession that you are working in. Private Officer International, we're a great organization. I'm not going to even try to diminish all the things that we do. I don't mind tooting my own horn, because for the last almost 16 years now, we have done a fantastic job in recognizing the private security industry, more so than as is or other organizations that are out there. And I know that there's a number of state associations, but believe me, they're not doing anything for the national scene. They're trying to do something on a local level, and there's been a number who have come and gone since POI was established. And, you know, the Facebook groups are great for two-way communication, interacting with others in the profession. But again, they're not out there to do any big national thing. We are involved in legislation. We're involved in assisting officers killed or injured in the line of duty. We're involved in every aspect of our profession, whether you're in retail, nuclear security, private police, frontline security management. We're all of that. Collectively, we've got it all going on. So if you're not a member of Private Officer International, we encourage you to go to privateofficer.org today and join, because you're going to get more than 40 member benefits. But you're also going to be part of the great organization that's here to support you, that has a team with a huge amount of experience, who's there to help answer questions, to guide you in certain situations. And we're here to support you, educate you, and we're the voice of the frontline protector. We'll be right back in just a minute. Don't go away. Public Safety Institute. We train those who help others. Paramedics and emergency medical technicians, firefighters, police officers, law enforcement, private security, bail enforcement, and those on the front line. Check us out today at armorcollege.org. ARMOUR College.org. We'll even bring the school to you. Armor College, a public safety institute.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today, in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is 1 too many.
Don't forget to follow us online on social media. You don't have to be a creeper. You can be a follower, a professional follower, part of our community. Follow us on Facebook. That's where a lot of people go because we also post all of our news, all of our upcoming training, all of our special happenings there. You can also follow us at Twitter/Private Officer. We're also on Instagram, Pinterest, a couple other social media sites that we don't use, but we do post things there from time to time. Follow our daily news blog. Just go to the website at privateofficer.org or go to your browser and put in Private Officer News. You can also follow us on our radio show. You're listening to us right now, and you can follow us and get alerts when there's a new show or when we have something specific that's planned right here on the radio show. In fact, we've got a couple of special events coming up before the end of the year, including a talk-off, and also we're going to be running a little game where we're going to have teams that are going to have questions about the security industry and see which one gets it right. And they're going to get an array of prizes and gifts from Private Officer International. Also, you can go to privateofficernews.org. That's our weekly magazine, privateofficernews.org. See, we've got a whole lot of different things to engage you, the member and the non-member, a whole lot of things that can keep you updated, educated, and involved. So there's no excuse really for anybody who can, you know, sit back and go, well, I didn't know, you know, nobody cares, blah, blah. We hear that all the time. There's no reason for that, baloney. Follow us, especially on Facebook and Twitter. Read our daily news blog. Listen to our radio shows, and you're going to be informed, educated, engaged, and involved in the profession that you have chosen. Coming up later today, we're going to be talking about defiant, disruptive, disorderly, aggressive, non-compliant people and what to do about it, because we're running into that all of the time. This is not just something that you see, you know, on the media, on the news involving law enforcement. No, actually, security are facing the same exact things as law enforcement. And oftentimes, much more frequently. If you get our news emails, newsletters, maybe you got something from us yesterday with headline that said security, 31 security officers stabbed in 30 days. That's a fact. If you follow our news, if you read our daily news blogs, you're seeing where there is a big uptick in stabbings nationwide, not just involving private security, involving robbery victims, law enforcement. For some reason, now we've seen this for years in England and Ireland and different other countries, and we do have a substantial number of security officers stabbed every year, but just in the last 30 days, 31 security officers stabbed. And in our email yesterday that was sent out, we broke it down to where these things were happening. And I'm going to pull that up because I want to read this information, these recent stabbings. And also, every year, under 100 security officers are stabbed, but that's still a lot. And between 3 and 10 security officers have routinely died of those stabbings. A lot of people don't realize that you don't have to have a gun to kill people, to hurt people, to really harm somebody quite seriously. The 6 security officers who were stabbed, 6 of them were stabbed in 48 hours over the weekend. 31 total security officers stabbed in just 30 days. Of those stabbed during the weekend, 3 were at nightclubs. 3. Now, how can you get a knife through the front door if security is doing their job adequately, if they're wanding everyone, if they have metal detectors, if they're patting everyone down? 1 stabbing occurred at a hospital, 1 at a parking garage, and 1 at a hotel. In fact, this weekend, 4 security officers were injured at a hotel. We don't see a lot of reports of security officers being injured. We do see assaults at hotels, but to have this number of people being injured in a short amount of time by bladed instruments, and they don't always have to be knives. They could be other items. I know in one case, there was a switchblade involved, and in one case, there was a box cutter involved. There's a lot of different bladed instruments, people, and we have to be aware. We have to be prepared. We have to have good situational awareness, because if we don't, we are going to get hurt. There's no doubt about it. And here's the other thing. Even though you might be wearing body armor, yeah, it's going to help you, but a lot of the body armor, especially the latest body armor that's very thin, that's not going to stop a knife, especially something that's got a long blade on it. A 5, 6, 8-inch blade is going to cut right through your vest. Think about that. So if you're armed and someone is stabbing you, attempting to stab you, lethal force would be warranted and it would be justified and it would be something that probably is going to be the only way to stop the attack. So those of you who are unarmed or those of you who only carry less lethal, you're going to have to react very, very fast against the attacker, because if you don't, it could be a very deadly situation and one that you might not survive. 31 security officers who have been stabbed in 30 days. Think about that for a while. A Tuscaloosa, Alabama security officer is being recognized by his apartment community and leaders in the area. Mark Dill, who is a retired Tuscaloosa police officer and somebody who served his country in the Air Force, is being recognized because he's been a security officer at the Fieldcrest Apartments for 2 years. But when he's not keeping people safe, he is a role model in the area, not only in his apartment community, but in the area. He holds sporting events to keep kids off the street. He holds cookouts at his expense to keep kids out of trouble. Mark Dill says playing sports with the kids and having the cookouts, it serves several purposes. Of course, it keeps kids off the streets and out of trouble, but it helps them to respect security and law enforcement, and it also gives a positive example of what people can do. He doesn't ask for anyone to give him any money to do this. He's not asking for any accolades. He's not asking for anyone to do anything. As a former law enforcement, he understands that teenagers who have nothing to do and no place to go often find themselves in trouble. So we're going to recognize this security officer. We're going to actually be reaching out to him this week, early next week, and we're going to be talking to him and maybe get him on the radio show, but we're definitely going to recognize all that he has done. We also want to recognize Karen Fitzpatrick, a security manager for a big box store. I'm not going to mention which one. She didn't give me permission, and I don't want to reveal where she's at exactly, but she works for, let's just say, an upscale retailer, not a discount store by any means, but we want to recognize her today because not only does she go out of her way to train her staff to really get loss prevention agents not in her region involved, but also she has helped them when they needed financial assistance, that she's helped to build their career, to put them on the right career path. And we really, really appreciate security management out there that do these kind of things. And we're recognizing her with an award, Karen Fitzpatrick. I will tell you that she is in Texas, the great state of Texas. And we're going to be reaching out to her again, either today or Monday. And maybe we'll have her on the radio show. If you would like to be on our radio show, if you have a topic, a subject that you want to talk about, send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we got a lot of breaking news. We're talking today about disruptive, disorderly, non-compliant, mean, fighting, combative people. And we're running into these people everywhere. Protest. I'm telling you, every time somebody doesn't like something, they protest. And a lot of folks out there are injuring not only law enforcement, but security officers. Follow our news blogs. You're going to see right there in the blog every single day somebody fighting security. We'll be back. Don't go away. I'm the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water's like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the soda.
Don't forget the life jacket.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny when you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the U.S.
Cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it.
All right, we've got a lot of breaking news coming up this week, just like always. Now, I do know, and I've gotten messages from you, and I understand, but I do know a lot of you do read our news every day. You look at our social media, you see our posts about what's happening in the industry, what's going on around the world, but there are a group of you, a select group, that either because you don't have time or reading isn't your thing or whatever, we do the news for you. Those of you who don't always read our news blogs or participate, you know, in our online forum, social media, and I know that there's a number of you who don't like social media. You just don't have Facebook, you don't use Twitter, and you're not a social media guru or follower. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, maybe three now, one of our very longtime members said, you know, I've been missing some of the information you're putting out because I no longer am on Facebook and I have no other social media. He said, so is there another way that I can get the information that you're putting out on social media, Facebook? And I said, well, we do try to include a lot of our information in our news blog, but that's mainly for news and some training schedules, updates. But, you know, if it's something very serious or something that is not only for our members, but for our followers and others on our news list or email list, we send it out that way as well. But I'll tell you what, you know, I said we'll have our office send a regular email to you if it's something that we think you might be interested in. But for those of you who don't follow our news this week, breaking in the news, we already told you about the security officer stabbings and about the security officer in Alabama. But listen to this. Two other security officers were stabbed outside a popular bar as there was a party in San Angelo, Texas. Two security officers stabbed Wednesday night after kicking out an unruly group of patrons at the Conco Pearl Ice House. Now, nightclubs are, we've mentioned this so many times, are dangerous. And there's weapons. So here's two more security officers stabbed by a group. Well, how do they have weapons in the bar, in the nightclub, if they had been screened properly, if they had been frisked, if they had gone through metal detectors, if they had been wanded down? Police say that the private security officers successfully got them through the door when the fight began. Both the security officers suffered multiple stab wounds, are expected to be recovered, but one is in serious condition. It happens a lot. A public safety officer in Kansas City is being accused of stealing a vehicle. It seems that a person lost the key fob to their vehicle. A security officer on patrol downtown in Kansas City, Missouri, found that, eventually locating the vehicle it belonged to, and then took the vehicle. Police investigated. No charges currently outstanding for the security officer, but it's under investigation. In Augusta, Georgia, police in Richmond County say a woman's been arrested for a crimes against a minor and theft by shoplifting. Raven Tolbert was charged in Macy's in Augusta Mall after shoplifting more than $300 worth of clothing. Police also say that she left her two children behind and therefore been charged with those charges as well. Macy's, as you know, is kind of an upscale store. I mentioned earlier about a loss prevention manager that we might be, you know, that we're going to be honoring, and she might work for one of these upscale stores. Well, it may or may not be the same one or the same company. A man in Reno, Nevada has been arrested for assault, facing charges in connection with a confrontation with a security officer in Reno. Police arrested James Park after they say that he attacked a security officer out of some sort of miscommunication, a struggle ensued. Police took him into custody. They say the security officer who was assaulted already had detained the suspect. The security officer was injured, went to a hospital for treatment, and the suspect is in jail. Now, this is a story I don't really get. It's coming out of Orange, California. Unfortunately, a 15-year-old high school student died after stealing and crashing a security officer's golf cart into a pillar at the Orange Unified School District. Now, students and parents are upset, demanding answers. They say the student has special needs. You know, he died from the injuries because they were so severe, but they want to know, how was he able to get possession of the security officer's golf cart? So, you know, it is a tragedy. It's a tragic accident, but parents and students are not buying the accident part, and they're trying to put the blame on who else? The security officer. Law enforcement and school authorities are investigating. An armored truck security officer was shot during a robbery. One Ranger American security guard was shot and wounded in the incident, and police are investigating. No arrest. In Louisville, Kentucky, four women now have come forward saying that they were sexually assaulted by an employee at the Louisville Omni Hotel, a very upscale hotel. They say that they were all assaulted by Colin Stevenson, who was a masseuse inside Omni's spa. Now, again, these are very touchy situations, no pun intended. And an investigation is continuing, but in the meantime, the four have filed a lawsuit against the hotel and the individual. And, you know, unfortunately, there's obviously no surveillance camera footage, no secondary witness. And we've seen, I'm not saying this didn't happen, but we've seen over the years that many people have been involved in Me Too incidents that turn out to be false. But police are investigating. In the meantime, this is going to go to civil trial. A 16-year-old in Douglasville, Georgia, has been arrested for attempting to rob a security officer. Now, we talked about this last week. It happened at the Arbor Place Mall. The security officer, in plain clothes, was at the urinal using the restroom. Somebody put a gun to his head, took his wallet, iPhone, and then discovered that he had some, the victim had some handcuffs on him, and the suspect got a little scared and decided to run. Police made an arrest. They are looking to charge him as an adult for armed robbery, and the security officer was traumatized, but his wife said he'll be fine. In Tacoma, Washington, Pierce County man, who is a security officer, is recovering at home after somebody intentionally hit and ran him over, dragged him halfway down an East Tacoma street. The security officer said he was working at a job site when an incident happened, and he's currently bandaged. He's got some injuries to his leg and foot and arm. The security officer says that the man who he believes intentionally struck him has not been arrested. Police have a suspect possibly, but we're going to be following this as well to find out exactly what happened. Also in the news this week, thieves target pot industry across California. This made national headlines this week. In L.A., where they're no stranger to the crime wave involving the cannabis industry, we've taught on this subject in years past. We have a course online right now through Armor College about cannabis security, and we have posted news items about it. It's no secret that the cannabis industry, whether legal or not, the dispensaries, the growing farms are subject to frequent robberies, violence, and it's on the rise. These headlines in the LA Times says it all. Thieves target pot industry across California. And now it's not just across California. It's happening elsewhere. And if you work in the cannabis security industry, if you're one of those, be sure that you take all of the training possible, that you are very alert to your surroundings, because it's a dangerous place to be working security. A Chicago man has pled guilty to a $600,000 Brinks armored truck heist. A former armored truck driver himself, Akeem Jackson, 30, of Chicago, has pled guilty for the robbery that he was involved in. Jackson faced a judge this week for the robbery of the armored truck outside of the Chase Bank. He was one of five men involved. This man now faces 30 years in prison. You've probably seen the video that we posted, if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, of the shoplifter in Southern California, LA County, where he went in to a Best Buy, and he was dressed, nice shirt, pants, with a leather bag over his shoulder. He was looking at some iPhones there at the Best Buy, and lo and behold, 2 minutes later, he's stuffing two or three in his satchel, running out of the store being chased by employees, and he's pepper spraying them as well, biting them off, and he escapes. No word as to whether or not he was arrested. In Brunswick, Maine, a security officer has decided to bike to the 911 memorial this week to honor the victims. The security officer left from Brunswick, Maine. He left from an area called Cadillac Mountain as his starting point. He said it's the first place the sun touches American soil. We're not sure to all the details of this trip, and we'll be checking on that, but it made the news headlines, which I thought that was pretty great. In Troy, Michigan, a security officer trying to tackle one of two men who attempted to smash and grab a K Jewelers was injured. Information right now of the situation is limited, but Taylor police say two black men were unsuccessful in their attempt to smash the glass counter, due in part because of the security officer's fast, quick reaction and response. The men were armed with a hammer. They struck the security officer in the face and then fled in a white Chrysler 300. Those suspects are still outstanding, but I'm confident the police will probably arrest them. In Hobart, Indiana, a man was arrested over the weekend Sunday for shooting inside a Walmart. According to police, a fight ensued at the Walmart on 79th Avenue. One person was injured, and police arrested one person as well. They say that an off-duty East Chicago, Indiana police officer happened to be shopping at the store and was able to assist in the apprehension of the suspect. In Monroe, Louisiana, this is really a pathetic story. Two bounty hunters went into a high school armed. At first, they told the SRO they were looking for somebody who had a warrant. Now, one bounty hunter had a firearm that was visible, and he was carrying a clipboard, and he told officers that he was looking for somebody that had a warrant. After investigation by the SRO, they arrested both men because one of the suspects said he was actually looking for his girlfriend's granddaughter, because he had word that she was selling drugs at the school. Both were arrested. The other bounty hunter also had a firearm concealed. Both were arrested for firearms on school property. I don't know of any state that allows visitors to walk in with firearms. Other than law enforcement or other security personnel authorized, it's illegal as far as I know in all 50 states. I might be wrong, but I believe that is a law. In Chicago, a school district, 70 Chicago local school councils voted to keep police officers in school. It seems that there was some controversy that they wanted to get rid of armed law enforcement in the Chicago schools. But 70 groups came together and they voted to keep law enforcement and to force the city of Chicago to keep law enforcement. And I thought that was a great story because that just showed that the public understood that school resource officers are needed to protect our children, the school staff and visitors. And I just think that more people like this really need to step up. In Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, a St. Clair Shores man arrested Monday for stabbing a 31-year-old security officer in front of a downtown Detroit Coney Island restaurant. David Michael Ghost, 21, has been charged with assault with intent to murder, assault with intent to do great bodily harm, two counts of felonious assault, and assault and battery. The attack happened around 1 a.m. last Saturday, and the security officer received several stab wounds and is expected to be all right. A lot of breaking news goes on every single week. If you don't have our news on your phone, if you don't have the website, if you're not connected, go right now to privateofficer.org. Sign up today and follow our news blog for the latest news stories. Hey, are you in the market for a new vest, body armor, protective wear, protective gloves, stab resistant? Go to our friend's website, Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. We've got the best body armor, the best protective clothing, stab resistant vests, gloves, and even protective wear for civilians. Body Armor USA. Today we are talking a little bit about the disturbing trend as we see it across the country. And this is a trend that is directly affecting private security in some of the most harmful ways. As we know, in the last 5 years or so, there's been an uptick, an uprise in people protesting, people being disruptive, people not only letting their voice be heard, but people who are becoming defiant, taking over buildings and shopping malls and streets and interstates, people who are out not only to protest, not only to let their opinion or their feelings be known, but they're out to disrupt. They're out to harm. They're out to cause chaos. They're out to stop traffic, to stop progress, industry, to stop businesses from making revenue. They are out in large numbers all over the country. In recent years, we've all seen the effects of that on TV. We've seen the Black Lives Matter protests. We've seen every time police use any level of force, even justifiable force, we've seen large numbers of people coming together to protest that use of force before they even know what happened, before they even know the facts. And even when they do know the facts, they don't care. They just want to be out there protesting. They just want to be out there being disruptive and disorderly and causing property damage and causing chaos. We see it all over the country. People today are protesting about everything. Recently, in Charlotte, North Carolina, protesters protested about illegal immigration. Now, these protesters were illegal immigrants, and they made demands upon the city of Charlotte to force ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, force them out of the city. They demanded that the Sheriff's Department not comply with federal laws to detain illegal immigrants. These were people that they themselves were breaking the law already. They were illegal. They were here illegally. But they got together with some others and protested and caused traffic issues and all sorts of chaos. The Constitution of the United States does not give carte blanche to those who aren't even legal citizens. The U.S. Constitution applies to citizens, not to those who are here illegally. And let me just say this. I'm not anti-immigrants. As I've said numerous times, we all come from immigrant families. My parents are from Ireland and Italy. My grandparents are from Italy and Ireland. I have relatives up and down the family tree that are true immigrants coming over on the boat, coming through New York, Statue of Liberty, coming through the right way. They didn't come here and protest. They came here and got a job, learned the language, and became viable citizens. People today are finding so many reasons to protest. And private security officers who generally work alone, work at downtown high-rise buildings, work at public spaces, work at shopping malls, work in areas where they are being put in harm's way during these uprisings, during these protests. A good example of that was 2 years ago in Dallas, or about a year and a half ago in Dallas, where the police officers were killed, where they were ambushed. Well, during that shooting, several security officers were also shot at, and a security officer at a college right downtown was shot by the suspect. Private security are everywhere. You know, 1.5 to 2 million private security officers working in the U.S., they're bound to be in the middle of those protests, in the middle of those disturbances, in the middle of those use of force situations, in the middle of incidents where they're unarmed and cannot protect themselves, where they have a lack of training and can't really communicate, can't really intervene in the disturbances. You might say, well, they don't need to. They just need to go run, hide, and lock themselves in. That's all well and good if they have time, if they are alerted in advance, if they know what's happening. But a lot of times these protesters, these people involved in these disruptive incidents, come onto the property with little or no notice. And unless you have ESP or crystal ball, you're going to be in the middle. You're going to be in the mix, and there's no two ways about that. There's no way out. So it's important that private security officers do get training in crowd control, that they do get extra training in dealing with disruptive and disorderly persons. They need to know how to not only de-escalate, but how to communicate. There's a difference when we're talking about de-escalation techniques and communication skills. There's a lot of people, unfortunately, in all levels and types of businesses that can't communicate. They don't even talk well with their own family, spouses, or relatives. There's a lot of people who can't cope. They don't know how to express their feelings. They don't know how to say things the right way, how to put things in the right context. They don't know how to structure sentences so they're not offensive. And so Here we have people in uniform, people who are protectors, people who are there to be that frontline person who sometimes they can't communicate. They're not effective in dealing with rowdy people, disorderly people. I can remember a video that I saw a few years back where a security officer was trying to explain to a person why they could not loiter, why they could not hang out on the property, and all he did was make it worse. The gentleman was genuinely asking why not. He genuinely was just trying to find out, well, I thought this was public property. Why can't I? I'm just going to be here for a few minutes, or I'm not doing anything. I'm not really breaking any law. Why can't I be here? And this security officer blew his top. He started screaming and yelling, pointing fingers, and before you know it, it really became head-on, face-to-face confrontation that would have went probably a whole lot worse if the security officer had been armed. But unfortunately, he was not armed. He didn't even have pepper spray. So I fear that had he been armed, had he had a taser, things really would have gotten out of hand even worse. We need to train our personnel how to communicate, how to explain what's happening, how to explain the rules, how to say, you know, this is private property. I understand that you think it's public property, but it's not. It's owned by XYZ company. Normally, you might be able to come in and do business here, but right now we're shut down because of what's happening outside. It's important to be able to de-escalate the situation. And it's also important to be able to assess the threat and understand when the time of talking is over and it's time for action. And unfortunately, because of the lack of training, a lot of law enforcement, you know, a lot of security, a lot of private police, they just don't have those skills. They just don't have that mindset, that training. These are things that we have to really consider in this day and age. We need to look at training. We need to look at the change in the times. Back when security was just access control and guards at the warehouse, we didn't need those skills. We didn't need those training hours. We didn't have to worry about communication that much. Hey, how's it going, Joe? Yeah, it looks like it's going to be raining again today. That was the extent of communicating with people on the job sites. But now, with private security being more proactive, being more engaged in criminal activity, investigations, confronting people, and being really the frontline protector, it's so important that we get our security staff trained up in communication and de-escalation techniques and understanding threat assessment and being able to judge when it's time for us to lock up and secure the place and get some help. It's equally important for us as managers and owners of security companies or proprietary security agencies for us to recognize that, hey, you know, we've had a shooting, we've had a confrontation with law enforcement, we've had some incidents involving protesters because of a use of force incident here in the city, and our building is right downtown, our building is right in the middle of Ground Zero. It might be wise if we keep our building locked up today, if we secure the building completely, if we hire on some extra armed personnel and, you know, tighten up security during the next few days or week. We need to be better assessors of securing the property dependent on the type of atmosphere, situation, incident. You know, on a normal day when nothing's happening and there's been no incidents, no violence, no use of force by police, no protesters, everything is good. We might have a more open campus or a more open property, but on a situation where we've had a use of force, a police officer shooting and killing an unarmed person or whatever, or some type of protest because of immigrations, we probably need to really secure our property much tighter and really get more personnel in there. So assessing the threat is very important. We're living in a different day and time. And we can either put our head in the sand and make believe nothing's going to happen to us, or we can be prepared. Security personnel, I'm talking to you right now. Your employer may not offer this type of training. Let's be real. Most will only offer what's absolutely required by law. Unfortunately, it's going to be up to you. Up to you to get the type of training that you need to save your butt, to be able to communicate with people. I can understand what people are saying. I'm a good communicator. I know. Maybe on any given day, that might be true. Maybe in your environment, that might be true. Maybe, you know, in the people that you communicate with, that might be true. But in a different environment, a different type of people, the defiant, the aggressive, the non-compliant, the vocal people, what you normally, the method that you normally communicate, it just may not be the proper tone. It may not be the proper information, the proper method. So it's important that you get de-escalation techniques, but also communication techniques, because they are different. It's important that we begin to look at the world that we live in a much different way. In our profession, whether we were working for a public agency or a private security company, it's important for us to be properly trained and equipped. That is, not only equipped with the proper tools, but equipped with the proper mindset, training, skills, information, and everything that it takes to be a well-rounded protector. I'm sad when I see, especially security officers, private officers, who are injured because they didn't have the proper tool. I'm sad when I see the dozens and hundreds of security officers arrested every year because they were trying to do the best. They just didn't know when to stop using force, or when to not be aggressive, or when to back down, back off. They didn't use good common sense. The job that we have today is not the job that it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. I know that you've heard me say that time and time again if you are a frequent listener to our radio show. But the facts are the facts. I'm worried. Even in my own city of Charlotte, North Carolina, I have seen violent riots in the last 2 years that have directly affected private security who are working unarmed in the high rises and the tall buildings, the skyscrapers, and other offices and properties in and around the downtown area. In fact, last year, during several nights of serious protests where buildings were vandalized and burnt down and lit on fire, there were several shootings. There was one person shot and killed in the middle of the protest. I really want us to understand that there are many more defiant people out there than there may have been 5 years ago. In many police traffic stops, in many security interactions with people, they're seeing more and more people defiant. Why are you stopping me? Why are you stopping me? Am I being detained? Am I being arrested? Am I free to go? Why are you violating my constitutional rights? Do you have probable cause? I saw somebody on a video the other day asking a security officer, do you have probable cause? They're on private property. They don't need probable cause. Very important that we take inventory of what time it really is in our world. That we better prepare, we better train, we better have all the right equipment, all the right tools, and all of the right skills to protect our clients and ourselves. Nationwide, uprisings and protests about everything from illegal immigration to police use of force to school system inequality to everything you can think of. It's happening in small towns and big cities. We've got to be prepared. Or, unfortunately, security officers will be injured and killed or arrested because they lose the cool trying to do the right thing. Hey, we're back on the Private Officer Beat Radio, and I'll tell you, defiant, disorderly, disruptive, non-compliant people are a threat. And whether you think you're good at de-escalation, whether you've had any training in it or not, you know, sometimes you just can't talk people down. You just can't make people reason or have common sense. And you're going to run into these folks more and more often. And there's a whole slew of different categories of these people. Everyone from violent protesters and civil rights activists and people who don't like the government, don't like authority, don't like people in uniform, including private security and law enforcement, and those who are non-responsive people, mental health, those on drugs, non-conformists, and people who call themselves sovereign citizens. You're going to run into them, and you probably already have. It's best to be trained. It's best to back off if you don't think that you're reaching this person. If it's dangerous, call police. Wait for backup. I often say, you don't have to have the upper hand right away all the time. Back off. Call help. Get the cavalry coming and then take action. Then swoop in, start handcuffing, start arresting, whatever it takes. But don't always try to be the hero all alone, because that's when people often get hurt. That's going to do it for this week's Private Officer Beat Radio. We're glad that you've been here, and we hope that, if you're not already a member, you'll go to our website at privateofficer.org. Sign up today. Follow us on social media, and of course, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com with any of your questions or needs. And we're always here. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We never sleep, not even on the holidays. Somebody's always ready to answer your request. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you right back here on the radio.